Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, offering over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events.
Personal values.
Political and social issues.
Technology. Wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
We'll introduce you to Mohammed Tawhidi because he's not your average imam. Does the United Nations need to start a GoFundMe page? New York City's new mayor and anti-Semitism are off to a great relationship. And when it comes to feeling better about yourself, you'll see why we recommend just eating well and exercising as we explore the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, February 6th, 2026. Listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your skeptical friends. You can read the articles we talk about or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or just grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who's only responsible for what he says, not what you understand. And that's Pastor Mark, who, when strangers come up to him and say, "You look so familiar," he asks, "Were we in prison together?" And that pretty much ends the conversation.
I don't know, I got hugged once.
That will stop people from hugging you, that's for sure, if they come up and do that. Anyway. All right, before we get into articles, you've got some things that you want to talk about, Pastor Mark, so why don't you get started, because lots of good things to discuss.
Yeah, I don't know that we have a segment that we call this after, but sometimes there are just general discussion issues that we need to know as Signs of the Times listeners, and I've got a couple of them today that I want to talk with our listeners about, and one is, I wanted to just discuss a little bit of this Holocaust revival atmosphere worldwide. You know, there's been so much abuse of throwing the word Hitler around the last few years that when you say that, very few people pay attention anymore. It's kind of like, yeah. Or if you talk about Holocaust or persecution, even some denying the Holocaust even happened, as absurd as that is, you have some people even trying to do that. And the more you do it, the more some people believe that. No matter the evidence that we have, but it's really the spirit of Antichrist. What happened in World War II was that Satan, again, in his desire to destroy the Jews and never allow a nation of Israel to ever revive again, because God promised in the last days, "I'm going to make Israel a nation again." They never quit being a nation in the sense of their people group and who God called them, but their own piece of land. So he was trying to deny that from happening. And again, I think trying to maybe even install the Antichrist at that time through Hitler. And God allowed certain levity. God used that, as we know now historically, to, again, the very thing that Satan tried to use to stop Israel from becoming a nation, he used to make them a nation. Isn't that interesting when you think about it? I never thought about that till just now. Literally, because Satan tried through Hitler to destroy them as a people group, God used that to get the world so moved because of what happened to the Jewish people that the UN, who hates Israel today,
right,
actually voted to allow them to become a nation, and they were declared a nation. So God made beauty from ashes, as horrible as it was, as the Bible says. But the bottom line is that there was a whole move of Satan at that time, again, to destroy the Jews, to try to stop God's word from coming to pass with Israel being reestablished as a nation, because he knew it was coming up soon. And at the same time, maybe even, you know, install the Antichrist and try to take the world over, and somebody he could possess and actually be worshipped and take the world over. So God allowed a certain amount to happen there, but not enough to do what Satan wanted. But then God used it for his glory, and now we have the nation of Israel, the thing he was trying to stop. The Jews are still thriving, the thing he tried to stop.
Mm.
And it was limited, though. We were talking, Greg, you know, before the broadcast, it was limited really to that whole demonic move there in Germany and the surrounding area. But what we're seeing today is a revival of the same spirit of Antichrist as happened back, you know, 70-some years ago, so I guess 77 years ago now, since Israel been a nation, with the Holocaust and all. There's a revival, but it's not Germany, it's worldwide. Germany is part of it as well, but it's worldwide. And matter of fact, America, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really almost nowhere you can go now where there's not some level of persecution toward the Jews. There are pockets of safety, but really, nationally, nations around the world, Satan's always wanted to do it. But God is allowing Satan to stir the hatred of the Jews worldwide. And while it was limited to Germany then, it's worldwide now. So it shows us how much closer we are to the return of the Lord. This just shows where we are, you know, contractions compared to just these Braxton Hicks, if you will, kind of the pre-contractions. I think we're seeing these things take place. So, but what's interesting to me is here's what Satan does. And if you don't know history and you don't watch how Satan works, you may miss this. He takes what he's doing and he projects it onto God or the other team, if you want to look at it that way. He blame shifts. You know, it's this you know, the whole thing where he moved in Adam's heart. You know, the woman you gave me, it's her fault.
Yeah.
And the woman, well, the devil made me do it. Well, you know, again, the devil was involved, but everybody made their own choices. And that's what's happening now in this whole revival of this kind of Holocaust atmosphere of the hatred of the Jews, wipe them out, destroy them, get rid of them. Hiding behind a lot of these accusations, and it's interesting, you see it happening worldwide. But in America, they're actually using the words Gestapo, and they're blaming ICE, you know, being you're Gestapo. Listen, Signs of the Times listeners, don't be dissuaded by this into somehow getting your eyes off the real culprit. ICE is not the Gestapo. ICE is not the problem here. It is Satan working through people that are rebelling in Minneapolis, in L.A., and around the globe against the Jews. This is about, look, when you see these things, they say stop ICE. Well, look in the background. You'll see oftentimes a Palestinian flag.
That's a good point.
Start noticing.
Yeah.
Why are Palestinian flags at Stop ICE rallies? Because this isn't about ICE. I think the blinded masses in the crowds don't know that. Some of them do. Some of them don't. This is a spiritual event where Satan is moving these crowds to fight against the government. And it's really more of just a general government rebellion, if you will. And ICE is the current thing they can attack because it's political and they hate Trump. And he made the promise to take those that are illegal aliens that came here illegally and remove them and all that goes on. We all know what the main, yeah, the motivation for all this is. But here's what's happening now. Now it's switched to where you see, okay, that's the motive that they see it as, fighting against Trump, fighting against the government. But Satan is using it again against Israel. And even the language they're using by calling ICE, you know, you could say we hate ICE because they are hurting people that we like. Okay, that's fine. But when you start using World War II terminology, Gestapo, these people obviously have no idea what the Gestapo was. Look, if this was the Gestapo, you would all be shot dead in the streets. It wouldn't be two people you're upset with what happened saying maybe something was done wrong that died. You guys would be getting put in prisons, all of you rounded up, put in concentration camps, and you'd be executed. And if you fought too hard in the street, they would shoot you right there. It wouldn't be about, oh no, did an ICE agent do something wrong? It'd be, what did you say? Boom. So you don't even know who the Gestapo is. It's a total ignorance of world history. It's a total abuse of the term Gestapo because they're trying to make it look like, you know, how horrible the U.S. government is. But it's interesting. Why didn't they call something else? Why Gestapo? Why didn't they call it Gulag? You know, Russia, where they're putting them in the gulags. Why not use that terminology? Why? Because it was the Gestapo that was trying to kill the Jews, and it was World War II, which everybody looks to as the big bad guy. And so they're using even some of the it's the same spirit kind of bringing that whole thing back around is my point in that. And what you need to realize is the ones really that are using the Gestapo tactics or wanting to use them would be those that are in the streets fighting against the government. Because they're wanting to round up, you know, they're wanting to round the Jews up and kick them out, so to speak. They might say, well, we're not trying to round up Jews. Listen, guys, it's the same spirit of why is there this hatred of the Jews that ties into all of this stuff with immigration? Begin to recognize the spirit behind what's going on. And so when I see this stuff, I'm just watching. You're watching this, and we'll get to some articles later where you're seeing this a greater increase in anti-Semitism even now. But suddenly you've got, again, Gestapo language being used. You've got Mamdani being you know, elected there in New York City. You've got all the attacks toward, you know, Israel and the Palestinian flags flying. Start recognizing the spiritual battle that's going on here. You can't link up. You couldn't put all these things together if you tried. What does that have to do with anything to do with ICE? And yet you're seeing all this, you know, happening. So recognize this is part of the spirit of the age of rebellion. And the Bible says in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. It says that there will be a general rebellion against authority. Talks about that as far as one of the signs of the last days. And it says that lawlessness will abound. We're seeing the beginning of it, guys. You're seeing the beginning of rebelling against authority and lawlessness abounding. And yet it's all somehow being tied into using terminology from World War II. This is the same spirit that's moving this group today that moved back then.
And I'll just add, Pastor Mark, I'll just share it for you Bible students. Go to 1 John 5:19 because that verse shares the mechanics by which this spiritual battle gets waged in the street, so to speak. Because 1 John 5:19 basically says those that are not in Christ Jesus are under the sway of the enemy. And that word there, sway, translates into power, control, or influence. And the language imparts that those that are under that power, control, or influence do not have to acknowledge or agree that they are. So it doesn't matter whether they realize it or they don't realize it. They're captive. They are enslaved by the enemy to do his bidding, whether they realize it or not. And their only way of escape is to give their life to Jesus.
That's right. That's right. And I want to just cap this off before I move into the next thing I want to talk about. Before, just so you can realize, if those are just saying, well, no, they are acting like the Gestapo. Listen, I just want you to know something. If these people were in the streets rebelling in Germany like this right now with the Gestapo, there'd be no rebellion. Everybody'd be dead.
Yep.
You'd either be dead or in jail. So if you think
like what they did in Iran, by the way,
if you think this, that's more of what's happening in Iran is more like a Gestapo.
Yes.
If you think this is Nazism and Gestapo, you have no clue what you're talking about. I mean, zero knowledge of history. And if you're doubting me, I want you to go look up the way the Gestapo dealt with rebellion in the streets of Germany. Go look it up, and then I think, look, you can disagree with what ICE is doing, but you can't compare them to the Gestapo or Nazism. It is simply the spirit of the age, I think, almost bringing up the issue of Jews and reminding people of World War II. And so, yeah, well, they were the problem. And anyway, let's finish off the problem. This is a spiritual battle and a hatred against the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, and it's manifesting in these last days, rebellion against authority and lawlessness abounding, which is going to get worse and worse and worse. So just be aware of what's going on here. You're not fighting against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in heavenly places. This is a spiritual battle. And I don't even think about one other point I want to make, Greg, they make this point about, well, they're checking papers, they're checking, but look, here's the difference in what the Gestapo did and what's happening in ICE in neighborhoods. ICE is finding out, are you an American or not? Okay, in Gestapo and Nazism, they went after one people group, not everybody. Look, ICE is going after anyone from all over the world who is not an American citizen, okay, to follow the laws of the land. With the Gestapo, they picked one people group, the Jews, and they didn't arrest them to deport them. They arrested them to kill them. So if you try to compare the two, again, I'm showing you how illogical this is. This is apples and oranges as they use those analogies. There is nothing at all that's equal or even kind of the same with what happened with Nazism and the Gestapo and ICE. This is simply a governmental system that's been put in place by the government of the nation trying to carry out the laws of the nation by a president who's enforcing them. Now, you may not like the tactics or whatever that, but that's what it is. Nazism and Gestapoism, they were trying to bring genocide on a specific people group. We want to kill all the Jews. So go look for Jews, round them up, put them in concentration camps, and kill them in the gas chambers, and then burn their bodies. You know, it's interesting. when you think about the tactic that Satan is using against the Jews, he used in World War II, and again, you think about what happened with, did you know that a sacrifice, when they made the sacrifices to the Lord, before Israel fell in the days of the Lord and prior to that, the sacrifice to the Lord is called, do you know what it's called? It's called a holocaust. Now, a lot of people don't realize that, but you offered your holocaust unto the Lord.
I've never heard that.
Well, let's go look it up. You'll see the sacrifices are holocausts. That's what they are. Well, what's interesting about that is because they didn't let Jesus be their holocaust, now they have become nationally a holocaust. I'm not justifying what happened with Hitler.
Right.
I'm saying if they had just received the Messiah, none of this would have ever happened. And it's almost like if you'd have let me be your replacement, you wouldn't have had to take the sacrifice yourself. But because you didn't let me be your holocaust, then you had to go through one. I realize that can be a very heavy statement, but the reality is that if it's like for anybody, if we let Jesus be our substitute, if we let Jesus die for us on the cross, then we don't have to go through any of this. I'm not justifying anything that happened. What happened it is an atrocity that's abhorrent to God and man in Nazi Germany and the Holocaust. But they would have never been persecuted, is my point, if they had allowed the Lord to be their sacrifice on the cross. Anyway, the next thing I wanted to discuss.
Yeah.
President Trump's restructuring of the Western Hemisphere lines up with the UN's map of the world restructuring. This is very interesting to me. When you look at what President Trump is doing in the Western Hemisphere, trying to pull Canada in and Mexico in together and making these comments about making Canada the 51st state and Mexico a part of, of what, everything, a Mexico obeying us, if you will, and coming under, getting their gangs in order, you're going to see more of a push because trying to get Mexico, there's even a push down the UN to link all three countries together. And you're going to see more of a push for that. But it's not just there. It also goes down to South America and up into, guess where, Cuba. And now you see the president talking about wanting to turn Cuba where it's non-hostile and get them in line with the U.S. and all that.
Guys, in Greenland.
Yeah. If you look at the map that the U.N. and you can find it on the U.N.'s webpage. My understanding is if you go and look, you should be able to find these maps that breaks the world up in 10 different regions. Part of everything that President Trump is trying to do right now, Greg, is one of the regions. So it's really, I don't think he knows what he's doing.
That's what was going to be my next question. Do you think he knows?
He may have some idea that saying, look, that's wise to break it up in regions. I'll agree with that. But I don't think he knows that it's anything to do with prophecy or something that the enemy wants to do.
Yeah.
But what you see President Trump trying to do right now is in line with the last days process of what the Antichrist is going to bring together, this 10 nation or 10 region conglomerate, maybe both, in order to be able to rule over the world. So when I talk about what's happening in the streets of Los Angeles and Minneapolis and all that, Minnesota, lest you think I'm just simply being political toward one side. Look, I think that right now, and our president doesn't know the Lord, and I think that right now the spirit of the age is even moving in him to do certain things that are lining up with end times prophecy. So, and one of the things we talked about beforehand, I believe he's doing a lot. You can see that same spirit working in him to some degree that's going to be in the Antichrist. Why so? Because, again, the Antichrist is going to be very braggadocious. Everything's going to be about him. His name's going to be exalted above all things as far as that goes. He's going to try to do that. That's exactly what President Trump is doing. I mean, he is now in this whole push to exalt himself like never before. He's now got a threat that they're going to have to rename two different airports after him or before he allows certain things to go through, governmentally. He's going to put this big Trump arch in the mall of Washington, the Washington, D.C. mall, that big grass area. And I think he wants to have it in if he can, maybe by this 4th of July, where rumors are he's going to declare again one nation under God, although it looks like one nation under Trump. We were talking about that.
Yeah.
So look, what I'm saying is start recognizing, regardless of your political background, whether you're Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever you are, start recognizing the move of the spirit of Antichrist. This is not about Republican, Democrat, or politics. Worldwide, we're seeing the stage get set for the Antichrist, and you're seeing some of that, I think, influence. I'm not saying President Trump, we know he's not the Antichrist. It's going to be somebody that's going to be out of Europe, and he's got to be Jewish. There's a lot of qualifications there that he doesn't fit. But I believe, and even though I appreciate a lot of the things that he's doing for the nation,
yeah.
I think since he doesn't know the Lord, he's under the sway, and you see that spirit of Antichrist in this whole kind of the world leader, braggadocious, more power. This is getting the stage set for the Antichrist. And then on the other side, you're seeing the rebellion in the streets. Again, that's, again, a sign of the Antichrist, anarchy in the last days. And you're seeing, with it stirred into the soup, a hatred of Israel. Palestinian flags in the background, bringing up Nazi expressions like Gestapo and Hitler and all this kind of stuff. You're getting all this kind of same kind of language because it's the same spirit that tried to take the world over in World War II is now stirring again in our day and age. And God's going to allow the Antichrist to do this, Greg. He's going to be able to do this. So, understand, I probably said enough to get both sides, Republican and Democrat, mad today. But that's because I don't come at it politically. I'm coming at it prophetically and biblically.
Well, and let's pull back 30,000 feet, Pastor Mark, because this is a good analogy or illustration of the purpose of our program.
Yes.
Because when you remember when President Trump took office the second time, one of the first things that he started to talk about was making Canada or Alberta or whatever the province is next to British Columbia. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, make that like the 51st state or a state. And then you see, because there were tensions between the conservative province that it is against the liberal, push of the government of Canada. Then you've got Greenland. That Greenland is strategic for his Golden Dome or whatever it's called,
whatever. Golden Dome. Yeah,
the Golden
it's
Dome.
It's to stop the missiles while they're coming over.
Exactly.
Before they get too close to us.
Yes. And then the stuff with Venezuela and declaring narco-terrorism and the history of Venezuela and the oil companies and all of that. And that's what's on the news. But then there's the news behind the news, and that's the prophecy.
Yes.
And that's what we do here, the best of our abilities, taking God's word and comparing it to what's going on. And so now when you see like the 10 toes of Daniel and the map of the UN and, well, look at that, Greenland and Venezuela and in Cuba and Canada and in Alaska and all. I mean, this is all part of a toe, region.
Yeah.
And so that's the prophetic news behind the world's news.
Yeah.
It's a great illustration of what we're talking about.
And it's going to come into play when we jump in here. The articles again with this global peace board that he put together.
Yes.
We have some things to discuss. But this is background our people need. You got the foundation for our listeners to recognize this world's going to be broken up with 10 different kings. It may be in line with these 10 regions. We don't jump too much to conclusions, but again, we have to look at all this, and it is interesting. And it even, but the thing that makes that interesting is a dissolving, possibly, of the UN, which could be adopted by this world
peace. We'll talk about that, too, as well.
So we're ready. That was it. That's what I had. Let's go to Israel.
Let's go to Israel. Literally and figuratively, maybe next year? I don't know.
Well, Israel, listen, maybe going back to Journeys of Paul this year, I'll be announcing that soon.
Okay.
And then going back to Israel next year in May of 2027, for those who want to join us, I'll be telling the body about that soon as well. So we have some fun trips coming up to grow and in fellowship and in the Lord. So it's going to be great.
That's great. Okay. So now this is from allisraelnews.com. This is dated February 3rd. Imam of Peace. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Yes.
Says Jerusalem's Dome of the Rock is an obstacle to peace.
Yes, I want Imami.
Now, did you see Imam Dami? What? No?
Yes, yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's kind of all kind of flow together, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Very interesting to see an Imam saying that maybe the Dome of the Rock is a problem here, because you'd be shocked to hear that. But look, spirit of Antichrist. Remember, all religions are going to come together, and they're going to come under this one leader. And if you think it can't happen, it's going to happen. And again, I think with some of the removal of radical Islam, committed Islam,
yes,
through Ezekiel, it's going to open up the doors for these. But listen to this guy. This guy's name, again, Muhammad Tawhidi, also known as the Imam of Peace, shared his conviction that the Dome of the Rock, that's, of course, right there on the Temple Mount, presented an obstacle to peace that could be overcome in a recent discussion with Israeli Middle East expert Dr. Mordecai Kidar. Tawhidi asked Kidar, who is one of Israel's leading Middle East scholars and an expert on Arab society, where he believed the Third Temple would be built. Here's a quote. It's a conversation that's been going on for a while, but I get many questions about it. Tawhidi began, I know that it is significant. It will happen in the future. That's fine, he continued. But I'm going to share something, if I may, if you can see this. So is this the region where the Temple Mount is imagined to be constructed in the future? The third temple, we believe, will descend from heaven complete, and God, who is almighty, will do it by himself without any human effort, he continued. And this is why we do nothing against the Dome of the Rock and against the mosque, which is in the southern part. He said, differentiating the Golden Dome from the silver-tipped Al-Aqsa Mosque. Tawadi has a huge following on social media, but it's a controversial figure. Again, this denounced as a fake shake. Not to be confused with a vanilla shake or a chocolate shake. But he's a fake shake.
With artificial flavors.
Yes, by his detractors. He stands against those who seek destruction. The destruction of Israel has dedicated his life to peace and advocacy. Now, there's so much here. The main thing is this. Again, when you start seeing imams, leaders of Muslims, saying, look, maybe the Dome of the Rock's a problem. We should kind of do away with it so the world can get along in peace. That's the spirit that's going to happen. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Again, it looks great on paper. Yes, we all get along. There's peace. He's going to make the whole world come together and all religions kind of come together in this big soup. And he'll allow that. It says he'll ride the beast. The woman will ride the beast. The woman representing world religion, the beast being the Antichrist, says the woman rides the beast in Revelation. So religion is going to be right hand in hand. The Antichrist, they're going to be buddies at first. They're going to just look like they love each other to death. Yes, we're friends. I'm going to help you. I'll stand up for religion. I'm going to fight for religion. The whole world's going to have their own religion. Don't worry. And then at the 3.5 year point, he's going to say, guess what? I lied. None of you can worship anybody but me to kill them all. And that's what's going to happen. So recognize that this is going to be just, again, this is that same spirit of Antichrist that's going to be kicking in with that. But here's something else I want our listeners to understand, because why do the Jews believe that it's going to be coming down out of heaven? I remember asking the rabbi, the main guy that was over the Temple Institute there in Jerusalem. They have a Temple Institute where they've made the implements for the temple. They're getting ready for the temple. And they're prepared pretty much. And I said, what are you going to do about the Dome of the Rock? Well, I didn't realize at the time that was the wrong question to ask. I think it's the right question, but I didn't realize how emotional he would get because that makes him so mad that the Dome of the Rock is there and not the temple. So he kind of, you know, and really I think I asked actually a friend of mine who was Jewish, but she was a Christian. He didn't know that. Ask him about the Dome of the Rock. I wasn't trying to set her up. I was just like, hey, I asked a question. Ask him about the Dome of the Rock. What is it? So she asked the question, and boom. Well, he said, well, you know, something about if they're going to squat on our Temple Mount, then they're going to do that, but God's going to deal with it. God's going to remove it. I'm going, whoa, okay. We hit a nerve here. But what they believe is the reason they don't have to worry about the Dome of the Rock. You know, the Bible says, interestingly enough, Greg, and I don't know if this is anywhere in the Old Testament, which is curious to me. I'm trying to think, and my listeners out there may go, yeah, it's in this, and maybe it'll hit me later. But in the New Testament, it says that New Jerusalem will descend, New Jerusalem will descend from the heavens and come down again. And many believe it's going to come right on down on the earth and take over where the old Jerusalem was, the New Jerusalem. Actually, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
So that's before the new heaven and new earth.
No. What will happen is earth's destroyed.
Yes.
Everything's blank. He makes a new heaven and new earth. Then Jerusalem comes down, the Bible says, and some believe it may hover between earth and heaven. Some believe it's going to come all the way down and just fit into its puzzle piece on the earth and take its place. Now, so there is going to be a descending of New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. But I don't know if anywhere it talks about that in the Old Testament. So where they get that, I don't know. So I find that interesting. But they believe that there's going to be a temple mount. A temple come down and just take over and take over the, you know, be replacing, what's on the Temple Mount now. So it is interesting to watch and to see what's happening. That's where he's probably coming from on his viewpoint of what he says there. But again, it's interesting to see. Now, here's the point. Here's the main point of this. Be watching for world religions to get along. And even if it's Islam temporarily pretending to get along.
Right.
Because once that Ezekiel battle takes place and you see just massive amounts of really, you know, aggressive Muslims attacking Israel, and they're all wiped out, there's going to be shock and awe, first of all. There'll be every step, they go, oh my goodness, what just happened? Then there's going to be a lot less Muslims in the region because the armies are going to be wiped out from five different countries coming against them. And that's when the Antichrist, I believe, steps on the scene, takes over the 10 nations and rules everything, and puts the Antichrist arch right there. I'm joking. There is no biblical Antichrist arch there in the Middle East. But he does plant his flag there and all that. And so
he will have a statue of himself, so to speak.
Well, he is. He's definitely going to put an image up. Yep. And again, we know the technology is there now for AI and all that goes with that, which, again, the technology with AI, there's so much, Greg. I know.
We could have another show just on that.
Assassinations even of the scientists in Iran, it's being done by AI with people that aren't even there, with weapons that have been placed in advance and are led by satellites. I mean, it is the technology is out the roof. Mm. And I'm reading a book now by the head of the Mossad, and he's sharing some of the things, tactics they've done in the past. It blows your mind. But anyway, that's a whole nother subject, but a fun read. Tip of the Spear by Yossi the leader of the Mossad. I'm trying to sell some guy's book, but either way, go ahead. Okay. Let's go on to the next article.
All right, we go to Breitbart.com for an article dated February 1st. Everyone wants to rule the world, but apparently it costs money. The UN chief Gutierrez pleads for cash as financial collapse of the United Nations looms.
Yes, and I wonder how much President Trump wants this to happen and is now encouraging it. Let me read the article.
Yeah.
Yeah, the United Nations is going, the United Nations already woke is going broke. I added that part.
Yes, you did.
They're going broke and needs member nations to stump for cash. Lots of it. That's the plea for Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who wants to continue wasting the world's money frivolously.
I added that too.
He fears the globalist body is at risk of imminent financial collapse. And now you have the cheer in the background. Due to a member states not paying their fees. The former leader of the Portuguese Socialist Party said Friday the UN faces a financial crisis, which is deepening because we can't take other people's money and spend it on ourselves. I keep adding parts of this article.
That's okay.
You can read the real article.
They can read the real article, yes.
And you can find out what's really in it and what Mark just said.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're threatening the program's delivery, and money could run out soon as July, leaving the unaccountable globalist cabal destitute. Isn't that interesting? The timing of withholding the money, they could run out by July 4th, maybe, I wonder. As the president now talks about one nation under God and the new global peace initiative, you wonder what
and
he's doing.
And celebrating the 250th anniversary.
Why do I say this? You see, how can the president have that much control over the UN? Here's what's going on. It appears the president is trying to get some of these nations to pull their money into this global peace initiative and away from the UN because they're not paying their dues already. So the UN will collapse, and then he creates a new UN, but it's the Global Peace Initiative. This is not about Gaza.
No.
The papers don't even mention Gaza when you read their new constitution papers, so to speak. It's a global peace thing. And I think he's trying to shut down the UN, create his own new thing where you have this dictator at the top, which could be the model we have for the Antichrist and the 10 nations by the time the dust settles. But it's interesting, the UN has to go first. I remember thinking about the UN, the useless nations, as it's called.
Yes.
It is truly useless. And it wastes everybody's money, and it's just kind of in the way. And they hate Israel, and they hate everything good. And so
they didn't start off that way.
No, they didn't.
They got that way.
But that's where they are now. So the bottom line is that to have them dissolve is not a bad thing. But you go, okay, then what are we going to do? How are we going to, again, have somebody where the world works together? Well, Trump wants to control that. He's bringing a new peace initiative together he can control when the world comes together. I guess, Greg, really? Theoretically, he could probably remain the CEO after he's out of office. He could still be that main dictator that's over the global peace thing because he put it together.
Do you think, Pastor Mark?
And maybe he keeps ruling by that.
So do you think this is one of those situations where the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know?
You know, again, I want to be careful. Look, right now, here's the bottom line. Here's another thing that's kind of scary about what you see. President Trump right now is religion's best friend, and he's helping a lot of things that are the Bible stands for.
I know,
for.
It's bizarre.
It is. Will he turn on religion at some point? I don't know. He's not the Antichrist. I want to make that clear.
Right.
But remember, there are pictures that God has allowed throughout history. Antiochus IV was a picture of the Antichrist. I think Hitler was attempting to be the Antichrist. Satan will give anybody the power that he can make happen at that time. God doesn't let it happen. Well, God's not letting it happen now, and President Trump doesn't fit the mode anyway. The point is, it's the spirit you see the earth moving toward. Watch the general spirit that's going to culminate in the Antichrist.
Yes.
And all these traits are going to come together. So it's interesting to see the UN dissolve very possibly. And wouldn't it be interesting if they did dissolve by July when he makes the big announcement about, again, the new global initiative and America being, you know, one nation under God, and now there's this new global peace initiative that he's the leader of, and the Antichrist is waiting until he can step into place. And like, it's almost like, get everything ready, and when it's ready, I'll show up. So I really see right now God allowing whoever's doing it, whether God's doing it or he's allowing Satan to do it, the world is being positioned and put in place for this world leader to step in and take over, and we're watching it before our very eyes.
Now, we know that the United Nations has the members of the United Nations are the countries. But it would be very interesting, even though he's negotiating or dealing with or trying to get other countries on board in this new board of peace, it's still in the formulation, the building stage. And maybe what he reveals in July or whenever he's, you know, everything's finalized, maybe you still have countries on board, but you have regional representation that's what ends up being on this board of peace.
Yeah, maybe. Again, we'll see. It's going to be, it's way more than 10 nations getting involved.
Yeah, getting involved. But I mean, I don't know if that doesn't get conglomerated or, drilled down into 10 parts or 10 areas or 10 regions or 10 toes or whatever.
Right.
Because I could just see this going in that direction. Because, again, he's still building this thing. It's not finished yet.
But notice what he's done too, though, yes. Greg. Look, to join, you got to pay $1 billion.
I know, which is just crazy.
Yeah, but think about it. That's money that would go where? A part of it anyway. The UN. In other words, if the nation goes, we don't want to put our money into two world peace groups.
Right.
So we'd rather go with Trump's thing here.
Yes.
Let's not pay our dues to the UN. I believe President Trump is knowingly shutting down the UN. I think he knows what he's doing, and I think he's interfering greatly, shutting down the UN and creating something that's a new world UN, but this global peace initiative that, as I said, I think is the formulation very possibly of this 10-nation conglomerate for the Antichrist.
Well, it just goes to show you how much the United States has kept the UN propped up, because once he pulls the majority of our funding out, look what they're screaming.
Yeah.
They're screaming we're dying
over
here.
That's right, because we were keeping them alive.
Exactly.
And I think it's going to collapse. I think it's going to shift over, man. I'm watching it.
More on that is the weeks and months come in this year.
Yes.
All right. Our next article comes from allisraelnews.com. This is dated January 23rd. The Board of Peace with fiasco written all over it. Now, this is just the opposite of what you were just talking about.
Yeah, well, this is what, from Israel, you're going to get a bad report. They don't like this.
They don't like this.
Before I even read it, let me tell you why they don't like it.
Yeah, please do.
Because they're including nations in this who hate Israel and it will have an influence over Israel, and it puts them in danger. I wouldn't like it either.
It's like
you're putting together a regional board in right here with America. Let's say America next to us. Canada is putting together a regional board that has Iran in it, and Somalia, which, hates Christians, and just all the nations that hate us. Just picture the nations that hate us. They're right there in Canada. And somehow, if we agree to it, they will have influence into America. Well, you would go, wait a minute. Why are we letting Somalia and Iran and, Turkey and these other nations, Iraq, Syria, why are we letting these nations, Hezbollah, that don't like America, why are we letting them have an influence in America? No, we don't agree with this. But yet, this is their biggest friend, America. This is their buddy. They want to be a part of it so they can control part of it. They don't want to say no to their buddy. They're in a tough spot. And so I see why they wouldn't want to do it. So they're writing these articles. This is wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's a fiasco. It's whatever. But again, so understand that's where their mindset is. It says, at the behest of U.S. President Donald Trump, multiple countries have been beckoned to join a board of peace with the purpose of promoting stability, restoring dependability and lawful governance, as well as securing enduring peace in areas affected or threatened by conflict. After looking over the list of countries who would ostensibly determine Israel's fate, it shouldn't surprise anyone that Israel would vociferously object to the inclusion of Turkey and Qatar in particular. So the question is, why expend efforts to establish a body which is no different from the world agencies that always seek to accuse Israel of and then be the problem? So look, to us, this is no different than the UN. You're trying to do a new UN. This is no different than the UN, the useless nations. Don't do another useless nations. It says, could it be that Trump sees this as an opportunity to establish himself as the world's most powerful leader, who has summoned all others to work under his authority, since he has the final veto power, in the hope of effecting lasting peace, cementing his indomitable role in the annals of history? In other words, he would become legendary, on par with the greatest world leaders who have ever lived. Again, yes, there could be some personal motive. He has very grandiose motives about himself. But I believe it is the formulation, very possibly, the formulation of the system that the Antichrist will step into. I think probably a 30-year-old, fierce feature looking, handsome, powerful man, we'll see, that's going to step into that role and take that as he tries to take the place of Christ. But it is ultimately, I think, the spirit of Antichrist setting up this world government. And I find it very, very intriguing. And it's exciting to watch this formulate before our very eyes, because it shows us we're getting closer and closer to the Lord's return. Remember, when the Lord comes back 7 years prior to that, we're out of here.
Yeah.
So the closer we get to the second coming, we're even way closer to the rapture. So we as believers should be very, very excited.
Much better seats to watch the movie play
out. Yes, it's going to be great to be with the Lord having the wedding supper of the Lamb rather than being here and being the supper.
Yeah, exactly. All right, TheBlaze.com, dated February 4th, reporting that Elon Musk is marrying SpaceX to XAI. What's that all about? Well, Glenn Beck is apparently warning that Earth's skies are about to change forever.
And maybe I'll share a little bit about what I was sharing about the Mossad. This may be great because it's about AI. But on Monday, February 2nd, Elon Musk announced that SpaceX has officially acquired XAI in an all-stock deal. The move combines SpaceX rockets and Starlink satellite network. Boy, what a combo this is.
Mm-hmm.
Artificial intelligence technology, creating what Musk calls one of the most ambitious, vertical, and integrated innovative engines on and off the Earth. Valued at a staggering $1.25 trillion, it's the largest private company to ever exist. In other words, rockets just married artificial intelligence in a super union that the world can't even begin to fathom. The merger, he explains, actualizes Musk's wild dream of launching a million satellites into space, which SpaceX first proposed to regulators in late July this year. Except these satellites won't be typical Starlink comms. They'll be a gargantuan network of orbiting supercomputers, drastically expanding the cloud and AI-possessing capabilities. While the plan is all about cutting-edge technology, Glenn Beck says it's more about history repeating itself. In the 1800s, America, power, he explains, was determined by who controlled the rivers and then later controlled the railroads. The same power dynamic is at play right now, except the frontier is not the land, it's the sky, it's space. And Elon Musk is doing exactly what the 19th century captains of industry did by staking his claim in the atmosphere. You place tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of objects into these corridors. You no longer have participating in space, or you're no longer participating in space. You're designing and structuring it. For the first time in history, a private company is positioned to shape the planetary structure faster than governments can, cheaper than any nation could, with replacement cycles measured in months, not decades.
Mm.
The sky itself is becoming a managed infrastructure, and history tells us that whoever's the first to build the new domain gains a monopoly. Now,
people will go to and fro, and knowledge will increase.
Greg, it's already enough in place for the Mark system, but when this happens, if this happens, think about this, guys. This is instantaneous human recognition planet-wide. And let me just say this before I even go into my Mossad thing, and I won't go long on
it.
But it's so cool. It ties with this AI.
Yeah.
Even if you think, well, they can't find me. I've got my bunker. I've got my, supplies. You've got all this stuff. I bought my big property. I moved from California and bought my 10 acres back in the mountains of Tennessee, and nobody can find me, not even Newsom. Here's the bottom line. There are enough metals right now in all of our bodies that they can find all of us. They can track metals. So the technology is there to look for metals that are moving around, and they're in our bodies from what we eat, what we drink, which means no matter where you walk on your property out in the middle of nowhere, the satellite goes, yep, there's Mark. They might not know who you are instantly. They won't know, but they'll know there's a person. So you can't get away from the world system. I don't care how much you try to, you think, I've done it. I've gotten away. I'm off the grid. Well, here's the thing. They've got you on the griddle, and they're going to cook you because they know exactly where you are. They know that they're going to find people, so you can't get away. So don't even try that. Enjoy your chickens and your farm and your... I like all that. That's good.
That's so interesting.
But you cannot escape now the satellite systems, the detection systems, because they look for metals, which are easily seen in the human body with the Lord in heaven. So yeah, that principle does apply there. But now real quick about how far we are along, Greg, already on AI. You know already how far along we are. So in one of the recent executions of a Iranian nuclear scientist in Iran, they're now free because it's been released to talk about it. They have spies in Iran that build their equipment. Israelis do. They're building their stuff they use in Iran.
Yeah.
They have their own factories. That's how.
When they took out all those people in that one room earlier.
So they built this one-ton unit thing they put in a truck and parked it like it was broken down the side of the road.
Yes.
But it was connected to the satellite system and run by AI. So what they did from thousands of miles away, they go on and they see it. They know the track that this particular scientist goes in his car. They put the AI coordinates in with the sniper rifles, a sniper rifle that's a multi-shot sniper rifle. They're hidden in that broken down vehicle. It reads the satellite. It reads the AI. They tell it when he's coming. It calculates that it's 1.6 seconds delay because of the satellites. Everything's programmed in that AI does. His wife's with him in the car. Leave her alone. Let her live. And when they pull the trigger from Israel, And literally, this thing that's there in Iran, reading the satellites, led by AI, directs the bullets through the windshield and kills just the man with his wife sitting there next to him and all the security guards around him. And they said that after they shot him and he was dead, all the security was looking everywhere. Where'd that come from? They're looking, who did it, trying to find it. And it was something like almost a mile away, three quarters of a mile away, in a broken down vehicle on the side of the road. Then once he was executed, they detonated the ton unit, blew it up. Blew the truck up, and there was nothing remaining. The guy's dead. His wife's fine. The security's off. He's gone. And it sets back Iran's nuclear program.
Wow.
That's all done by AI and satellites. I mean, this is just the beginning, guys. This is just the beginning.
Wow.
It's going to get wild. It's already wild.
Okay. All right. AOL.com. This is dated January 27th. CIA is quietly building a permanent U.S. footprint in Venezuela.
Yeah, this is another thing. Again, you watch what's happening here. Venezuela taken. Cuba's going to be under control, whether it's us or somebody in there with Cuba. I don't know. But again, this is the restructuring of the world system here and these 10 regions. 1 month after the U.S. carried out an attack in Venezuela to capture its president, civilians in the South American country remain caught between uncertainty and expectations of governmental change. Some believe the ouster of strongman leader Nicolas Maduro offers a glimmer of hope for rebuilding institutions and guaranteeing citizens' rights. Others question whether this new phase, which the U.S. and the government is acting as president in transition here, this Delcy Rodriguez, will lead to democracy, or if the change they hope for will stay on hold. Rodriguez, then vice president, assumed the role of acting president after the Supreme Court declared Maduro's capture a forced absence. An unprecedented situation not defined in the Venezuelan constitution. But a month after Maduro's capture, while some see reason for optimism in the economy and release of political prisoners, the country remains on an uncertain path. Here's the bottom line. They don't know what's going on. They're over there, what's happening? But here's, we know what's happening. There's a restructuring of the world order, and the world is being shaped into these regions that are going to be right in place for the Antichrist. Again, this is a major theme today that's just, you know, we don't plan this. This is just, you can see almost the contractions. This is the kind of contraction that's happening. We're simply sharing it with our listeners.
All right, let's go to IsraelNationalNews.com for an article dated February 3rd. Anti-Semitic hate crimes up, not 18%, not 12%, but 182% in Mamdani's not first year, first month. Amazing.
It was already bad.
It was already bad.
The Jews were already being attacked in Israel before that. My Mamdani came on the scene.
Yes.
And now they got their mommy, their Mamdani, and look what's happening. I warned our body. I said, listen.
Yep, you did.
This is going to embolden Jew haters. People that hate the Jews are going to get emboldened now because they've got a man on their side in leading the city. And I said, you watch. You're going to see persecution rise. In the first month, 182%. We just finished January. I'm telling you, right now it's too cold. You watch. When we get to the spring and summer, you're going to see Muslims in the streets of New York. They've done this before, but you're going to see larger groups of them doing their prayer things in the street, blocking traffic. It's going to become, and you're going to see more and more of the calls to prayer, the Muslim call to prayer. It's going to get crazy. And I think the prediction's already coming to pass. Again, not because I'm a prophet. I just know the nature of man. And then when the enemy feels that he has more power, Satan feels he has more power to bring in, a false religion into New York and our nation, he's going to push it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in the first month, it says of his administration, nearly tripled anti-Semitic hate crimes. The NYPD Hate Crimes Task Force investigated 31 anti-Semitic hate crimes last month compared to 11 in January and accounted for more than half of the hate crimes in January. On Holocaust Remembrance Day, a Queens rabbi was assaulted in the Forest Hills area, an anti-Semitic attack. Again, and somebody approached a rabbi there. And began shouting, cursing anti-Semitic words and things at him, punching him in the face, throwing him to the ground. Then last Wednesday evening, a man was filmed repeatedly driving a car to the doors of a synagogue at Chabad Lubavitch headquarters in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Earlier in January, the New York Post reported that a Jewish family was followed and harassed by a woman who punched the family's father after shouting that she was going to kill all the Jews. Again, this is after the first day in office, Mamdani, his first day in office, issued an executive order revoking all orders signed by Adams after September 26, 2024, the previous mayor. Mm-hmm. This meant that the IRHA recognition was revoked as well as Adam's order of prohibiting that to protect the Jews, as well as the order prohibiting mayoral appointees and agency staff from boycotting and divesting from Israel. So the boycotts are now okay to be a part of and with New York leadership to Israel. Critics have warned that this move legitimizes forms of anti-Semitism that hide behind alleged criticism of Israel and Zionists. That's exactly what's happening. Anybody saw this coming a million miles away? And again, it's spiritual. It's hatred of the Jews. We could have predicted it. We did predict it. And now it's coming to pass.
Well, I don't know if we could have predicted this.
Ominous music in the background.
Yes. This is from the New York Post, dated January 2nd.
Yes.
People are getting BBLs and breast implants from donated cadavers. It's quote unquote off-the-shelf fat.
Yeah, this is really scary and bizarre.
Yes.
And those that remember Soylent Green, this movie years ago, where they were eating people and they didn't know it. They're not eating people, but Greg, this is, they're taking bodies and using dead bodies for cosmetics.
Just one step closer.
You know, this is so weird. It just shows a total lack of respect for the human body, for life and everything else.
And that's the mark of the enemy.
It really is. I mean, even where they start in California now, you can actually use dead bodies as compost in your gardens now. Legally, they passed a thing.
Wow.
And
I wish we had that story.
There's a total disrespect for human life, and this is another part of it. Listen to this. Across the country, and this is going to cause problems, you watch. There's going to be something. Anyway, across the country, a growing number of patients are turning to injectable fillers made from a dearly departed's donated fat. They're taking family members and taking their fat to give themselves body changes, implants and things like that.
Diet and exercise,
it's
people.
It's unbelievable. Many of us in New York City are very excited about this, particularly because our patients are sometimes very thin. Or maybe don't have already had liposuction, so they can't use their own fat. It's just unbelievable.
Wow.
For procedures like BBL, fat is, that's the procedure where they take body fat and put it in somebody else's body to enhance it in certain areas. Fat is usually extracted from the patient by liposuction and then reinjected into the desired area. So for those who don't have enough to bring out, this is an off-the-shelf fat. Like you can just go buy, you know, whatever. The filler called Alloclay or Soylent Green. It's called Alloclay. Hit the U.S. market last year, but it still isn't widely available. Alloclay is made from sterile fat harvested from cadavers and can be administered through minimally invasive in-office injections by a qualified provider without the need for general anesthesia. You're injecting somebody else's body into somebody's body, Greg. This is so perverted.
Yes.
And so dark. I mean, I look at this and go, to me, it's an overall disregard for human life and even using other people. I think about the things, you know, in the Holocaust, they actually made lamps out of the skin of some of the Jewish people, and they would make things out of their body parts. They made things.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's the same.
Same spirit.
It really is. A total disregard for human life, those who've been made in God's image, and then using it for your own personal gain in some sick, perverted way. I just think this is so... I wouldn't be surprised to see all kinds of maybe even, you know, even though they say they're sterilizing it, it wouldn't surprise me to see all kinds of things happen to people's bodies, whether it be infections, biological things, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise
a result of doing this.
It wouldn't surprise you because it is so evil and so dark. And I don't know, God may have something mixed into the mix that would do that. I don't know. But wow, how far can we fall? I don't want to find out. Lord, come and get us out of here.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we're going to get more articles as we go on in this year on that too. All right, for some good news. Now, here's someone who didn't go buy 10 acres of land and is hiding in a bunker. This is from Breitbart.com, dated February 1st. Country star Jelly Roll praises Jesus at the Grammys. I love you, Lord.
It's interesting. Anymore, again, an upbeat brother in the Lord, a guy that's gotten saved. So wonderful to see what God has done in his life. He really can't be called Jelly Roll anymore. He's lost a huge amount of weight. He's called Mr. Buff. I don't know. I don't know how far he's going to go. He's not there yet, but he really has done
lost
amazing.
A lot, yeah.
God has really helped him do in all different ways, amazing transformations in his life. Before I read this good news story, because we have the time, let me tell you the bad news about this or the shocking news. The Grammys, and I shared this with our body Wednesday night, but the Grammys, when they had them a few days ago, there was a lady that got up there and she was attacking ICE and saying blank you and attacking the government and all that and just this ugly scene she made on stage. Then you had Jelly Roll come up and praise Jesus, which I'm going to read about what he did.
Okay.
And in Apple News the next morning, it generates the news for the day as you start the day.
Yeah.
It said the best and worst of the Grammys. And it said the best of the Grammys was that lady saying Blank Ice and cussing them out.
Yeah.
And the worst was them bringing Jesus up.
Wow. If they hated you, they hated me first.
Jesus said, don't be surprised if they hate you. He said, the world hates me. How do you hate Jesus? He's perfect.
I know.
He's never done anything wrong. He's only loved, and he's only laid his life down for everybody listening and everybody on this planet. He laid his precious life down for us when we deserved to die. We should have been the Holocaust. We should have been the ones that were sacrificed, and he became our Holocaust. Well, that's what it says here. Country star rapper Jelly Roll received his first 3 Grammy Awards on Sunday night and used the moment to praise the Lord, Jesus. After winning the award for Best Contemporary Country Album, Jelly Roll's real name, Jason DeFord,
Jason. Oh, I wondered what his real name was.
Jason celebrated his faith on stage. I know they're going to try to kick me off of here, so let me try to get this out. First of all, Jesus, I hear you and I'm listening, Lord. Second of all, I want to thank my beautiful wife. I would have never changed my life without. I would end up dead or in jail. He did end up in jail. But either way, I would have killed myself if it hadn't been for you and Jesus. I thank you for that. After thanking his record label and his producers, the singer drove home his message of redemption through following Christ. He said, there was a time in my life, y'all, that I was broken. That's why I wrote this album. I didn't think I had a chance. There were days I thought of the darkest things. I was a horrible human. There was a moment in my life where all I had was a Bible this big and a radio the same size and a 6x8 foot sail. S-A-I-L, and I believe those things could change my life. I believe that music had the power to change my life and that God had the power to change my life. I want to tell you right now, Jesus is for everybody. I love this. Jesus is not owned by one political party. Jesus is not owned by a music label. Jesus is Jesus, and anybody can have a relationship with him. I love you, Lord. What a great statement he made. The country star's message comes 1 week after he declared Jesus for everybody live on Netflix. A Breitbart News reported in December he also received a full pardon from the state of Tennessee for his criminal past. Again, the bottom line is that God changed this man's life. And what a testimony. Let me say this. Look, if you come from a background of drugs and alcohol, you know this. But if you're right now listening to this broadcast and you're trapped in drugs and alcohol and you hear God calling your name, God set me free from drugs and alcohol. He set me free. And he set Jelly Roll free. God can set you free. We are 2 examples for you right now. Oh, I could never be free. Oh, no, you can't, but Jesus can. But here's what you've got to do. You've got to run to Jesus. You've got to confess you're a sinner. You've got to ask forgiveness of your sins. You've got to believe that he died for you on that cross, not just the sins of the world. He died for you, that his blood was spilled for you. Put your name in there. You ask him to forgive you. You repent of your sins. You ask him to set you free from your sins and the chains that are binding you to drugs and alcohol or sex or whatever you're trapped in. And you start following him. Yes, he's going to come to you. He will set you free. He'll give you a new life. You'll be born again, and you'll be a part of the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you right now to pray that prayer. If that's you and you say, you know what, I need to do that right now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe your blood was spilled for me on the cross, and I'm trapped in sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe your blood paid for my sin. I ask God you set me free from this prison of sin that I'm in. And God, let me resurrect from the dead the same way you resurrected from the dead 3 days later. I believe and I choose to follow you in Jesus' name. Guys, if you've done that, listen, praise the Lord. The Bible says you're born again. All your sins are forgiven. If you want somebody to talk to, call Calvary Chapel, 865-609-1385, 865-609-1385. Call us. There'll be someone here to speak to you, a pastor or someone on staff. We want to welcome you. Again, if you don't have a church, come check out Calvary Chapel. We'd love to have you, but find a home church. And most of all, know that God has now set you free, and he will set you free from your sins. And now God will set you free from the trap of sin that you're in if you simply trust him. Again, I'm motivated by this because what a great story he had. And again, I can associate in many ways with Jelly Roll. I'm not famous, but I was set free from drugs and alcohol like he was. And Jesus will do the same thing for you.
Amen, Pastor Mark. And also, too, if you go to YouTube and you go to the channel Mountain and Valley Testimonies, you can actually watch Pastor Mark's testimony on what he was talking about, how he got saved by Jesus through his own trials.
Amen.
So
amen.
Anyway, folks, we love you. Make sure you are in church this weekend getting loved on by the Lord and his word. And we'll see you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's word as signs of the times.
WIAM LP Knoxville.